Now, back to Vocal Point with your host, Jerry Newcomb, on GraceNetRadio.com.
One of the premises of Obamacare is that it would basically be funded by young, healthy people in America. Comedian Jimmy Kimmel made headlines recently with a satirical Obamacare ad highlighting the healthcare law's disproportionate burden on young people. So writes Jackie Bodner, communication director of FreedomWorks, our next guest. He closed the segment with a snarky promotional catchphrase, the Affordable Care Act. Maybe next time, pick up a newspaper. Well, let's welcome to the program Jackie Bodner, who's going to discuss Obamacare and the millennials. And she herself, by the way, is a millennial. She's 26 years old. Jackie, congratulations for getting such a great job, communications director of FreedomWorks, at such a young age.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I actually started out as an intern, and I guess they just couldn't shake me.
Oh, okay.
They couldn't get rid of me.
All right, so explain Obamacare from the perspective of millennials. It's almost like a giant Ponzi scheme, only it's all based on the young people contributing so that the old people can make sure they get their health. I mean, I don't mean to simplify things, but that's what it seems to be predicated on.
It is. I mean, by its very definition, it is not only a cross-generational wealth transfer, but it's also a transfer between connected insiders that have their special deals carved out and they get their special exemptions in Washington, D.C., versus the average Joe American who's forced into this deal whether they want to or not. They're either opting out and paying the fine, or they've already gotten their coverage dropped and they're forced into the exchange anyway, rather than being completely uninsured.
And some of the politicians are exempt from it. To this day, has President Obama signed up for Obamacare? Do you know? Is he under Obamacare?
I believe he symbolically showed solidarity and signed up for some kind of bronze plan or something like that. But I think he's covered.
Okay.
I think he's covered either way.
All right. So let me ask you a question. Okay. The website went up October 1st. By everybody's account, it's been a disaster. Although I've actually seen brief interviews with Kathleen Sebelius where she's like, oh, we're right on track. This is, you know, everything's going swimmingly. I mean, as recent as last week. To say the least, honestly, the administration, I think, was surprised with how poorly the rollout went and has even fired the company and now, you know, hired a new company to manage the website. Comment on that, if you would.
Sure, and I think, I mean, it definitely the rollout was a disaster since day one. I'm not sure with years to prepare for this why they would have so much problem with the website. It can't be possible that they weren't anticipating that kind of level of traffic. But even regardless from that, there was a lot of miscommunication and confusion surrounding the law itself, in part because it's thousands of pages long and nobody understands what's in it, mm-hmm. including the people that voted on it. But also, because the law has changed so much since it originally got passed that people still don't know exactly what's in it, because there's been over 20 different revisions and delays and repeals and tiny changes and exemptions to the actual law, none of them passed through Congress, by the way, that that nobody really knows what it looks like. It's like it's undergone extreme plastic surgery and now nobody can recognize it.
Okay, now let's focus on the millennial issue for a few minutes. Why are young Americans concerned about Obamacare, or are they concerned?
Yeah, there's a lot of concern and like I said, a lot of confusion, and I think it's surrounded, I mean, it's based mostly on two basic principles here. Young people like choices, and we like fairness. And you're dealing with a generation here that can buy a smartphone in every color. You can go on iTunes, you can buy one song at a time and create a personalized playlist for yourself. Right now I'm looking out the window, I have about 18 different kinds of food trucks outside my office, and I can pick whatever I want for lunch. So you have the government coercing you into this one-size-fits-all program where you're overpaying for services that you don't even need. It's a bad deal. And that doesn't really translate with the millennial generation that I only have one choice and it's terrible and I have to pay extra for it. It's not working for us.
All right,
and the other second point, too, is the issue of fairness. There's a lot of hypocrisy in this law. A lot of people with special connections in Washington getting exemptions. You have insurance companies themselves having a secret bailout provision within the law where if all things go south, the risk is socialized, while any profit they make, of course, they get to keep. So, I mean, there's a question about the integrity of a law when the people that are passing it and enacting it and enforcing it don't even have to really live by the same rules as the rest of us.
And I don't even understand, how is it that the president can willy-nilly say, well, this part of the law, which was passed by Congress and unfortunately upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court, this part of the law will still go into effect by such and such a date, but that part of the law we're going to postpone for a year because of the election. I mean, let's be honest, that's why. But
right.
How can he do that? He's just, he's the executive, he's the president, he's not the dictator of a banana republic.
Right, exactly. And, I mean, the process to me matters just as much as the policy itself. Every time some of these rules get broken or special executive orders are made without passing through Congress, this is all setting precedent for authority in the executive branch that down the road can be abused again.
Absolutely. I mean,
so,
in fact,
so I think that's another thing with the millennial generation just blindly trusting President Obama.
Yeah.
People aren't realizing that all of this authority you're letting him have is going to be passed down by precedent to the next president.
Sure. And even if you say, let's say you have somebody that, a Kool-Aid drinker in my perspective, but okay, let's say somebody totally agrees with Obama and his agenda, and they go with this despite all this abuse of power as we would see it. Okay, now, down the road, Obama's not going to be president forever, and there may be somebody of the other party that's in charge, and maybe they have different politics and policies than you. Do you want them to have power that's unconstitutional, but along the lines of what Obama is exercising? It's just not right.
Right, and it's scary, too, when you think about it. I mean, even if it was someone who was in line with my values, I wouldn't want them to have that kind of authority. There's checks and balances for a reason.
Okay, now, let's talk about what difference does Obamacare really make in a person's life. Let's start with somebody who was essentially self-employed. They were the first victims, if you will, of Obamacare, as opposed to people whose insurance, health insurance, comes from their companies. Provided they're full time. All right, so let's start with the people. Now, I understand that for a lot of people, what this has meant is all of a sudden the cost of insurance has gone through the roof. Number one, and number two, mm-hmm. The deductible is so expensive. It's almost like, wow, why even have insurance?
Right, and especially for younger Americans who really only need like a catastrophic plan anyway, there's no reason to be paying this much money. It's silly. And so a lot of people are just saying exactly that. Let's just opt out. For people 18 to 34, you can save at least $500 in the first year just by opting out of the exchanges and paying that $95 penalty instead. Now, what's probably going to happen is people are going to say, yeah, forget that. I'm going to pay the $95 penalty and save a bunch of money. And that penalty, I'm anticipating, is just going to get higher and higher every year. Until they financially force you once again back into the system.
Hmm. All right. Give a specific example, though, of how much insurance people have gone. One anecdote that I know of, the deductible literally went from about $1,000 or something like that to $6,000.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, this is just so expensive. I just don't see how people can afford it. And
it's outrageous. And the Wall Street Journal actually did an awesome study of millennials in Portland and of all different professions, from someone who owned and operated a food truck and was an independent business owner to a yoga instructor to anything. And 8 out of 10, I believe, said, you know what? After I did the math, and these are millennials in Portland, so I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that they did not vote for Mitt Romney.
Okay.
Just based on location alone, it's
sure.
A pretty progressive area.
Right.
So when you're looking at those, after doing the math, 8 out of 10 said, yeah, it just doesn't add up for me. I would probably, given these numbers, I would opt out.
Now, I understand the Obama administration is actually having ads and things like that to try and sell Obamacare to young people and make them think, oh, yeah, if I'm going to be with it, I better sign up for Obamacare.
Right. Yeah. It's a really expensive way to try to be cool. I think all of these marketing campaigns to try to get people to buy into, you know, the greater good, do this for the betterment of society, it all translates with millennials if you're just asking them to buy that $1 rubber bracelet, like a Livestrong bracelet or something, that works. But when you're asking them to pay thousands of dollars in extra money on top of the student loans that they're struggling to pay off in the first place, and are hopefully paying off. I mean, some people aren't even paying them off because they can't find a job, so they don't have an income to pay them off. You have about 30% of kids who are still living at home because they can't afford to move out.
Wow.
And now you're going to tack on a couple extra $1,000. It's really quite cruel.
Where will they
start adding up the money?
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And then you, I mean, and the consolation prize, of course, is this, you can stay on your parents' health care until age 26. But that's a big assumption that your parents still have their health care plan, and they're not one of the 5 million that have gotten dropped already.
Wow. And what's scary, too, is that the many people who are full-time employees whose health insurance comes from their employers, what's going to happen to us, let's say, you know, 9 months from now? You know, we've sort of like, we've been looking at all the terrible things that have been going on for all these other people, and we're thinking, wow, I'm glad it didn't happen to me. But, you know, hey, maybe it's coming down the road. I don't know. Oh, and let's talk about something else. Haven't there been a lot of full-time employees who've been cut back to part-time? And now, for example, Target says, well, I'm sorry, but we can't afford insurance. You can go ahead and find your exchanges if you work less than 29 hours a week.
Absolutely. They're estimating it at 10 million. 10 million. 1 million jobs lost. 10 million jobs moved from full-time to part-time status.
Wow.
And that's going to hurt entry-level and young professionals the most. So that's again, another way that it disproportionately hurts millennials.
You know, this is what I don't understand. I mean, explain this to me. And by the way, we're talking with Jackie Bodner, Communications Director of Freedom Works. She herself is a millennial. She wrote a great article that's on your website, I assume, on freedomworks.com.
Org? This one you can find on Smart Girl Politics Action.
Okay, and it's dated just from yesterday. Obamacare hurts millennials. And take an average person. Let's say you have a 30-year-old young person, as you say, they have some college debt. They've not been able to find a full-time job, so maybe they've got two part-time jobs. They're still living at their parents' home because they're not able to afford to, you know, to have their own apartment yet. All of a sudden their insurance goes, let's say, from a catastrophic type insurance, you know, maybe, you know, I don't know, whatever it would be per month. But now all of a sudden it's hundreds of dollars per month. How are they going to afford it? I mean, I don't get it. Where does all this money come from?
Right. And when you talk to people who have gone through that exact part of their life and started out with new careers and were working a couple different jobs, when I asked my parents, well, what did you do? I mean, the answer was, well, I either took the risk and went uninsured for a little while until I found the job, or I just got a cheap catastrophic plan. And those are why those already exist in the market. They're there for a reason, and it's when you're pressed for money and you can't afford it and you're trying to move up in the world. But that's not really an option anymore. So it's really just another expense to hold us back.
Wow. What's so sad, too, is, like you say, it's not another option. It's, this is what you've got to do. In some of the places where socialized medicine prevails, you don't even have an option to, get some sort of supplemental private insurance. I've talked to some people from Canada who've said, you know, our pets, if they get sick, they're in better shape. We have more options to help them than if we have to go through our socialized medical system. And yet some people that are, you know, progressives, to use your term, or their term, would look to Canada and say, oh, that's the goal. That's what we want to move America towards. What? Are you kidding?
Yeah.
I mean, Canadians come here.
Although, don't give them any ideas, because I'm sure now, like, PETA is going to push for universal pet coverage or something like that.
You know, when we were working on a segment, a television segment, to try and expose Obamacare before it was even passed. And as we did research, I was shocked to find that in England, 6% of citizens in England, under their socialized medical system, which includes socialized dental care, 6% of people from England because it takes too long and it's too arduous to get appointments with the dentist. 6% have literally resorted to using pliers and pulling their own teeth. In modern England. I mean, that's just awful. And some people would hold up England as an example of what we should move towards when it comes to medicine. Do you, millennials agree with that? Do they like socialized medicine? Do they want socialized medicine?
Well, and I don't even think that it's that people necessarily like socialized medicine. It's the idea that all people are getting equal opportunity and equal treatment, and that is getting so confused with what Obamacare actually is. That's one of the things I found most ironic, actually, about the State of the Union address, is that you have the president who's harping for over an hour on the theme of inequality, but you want a textbook example of an unfair law that puts everyday Americans at a disadvantage and connected Americans with lobbyists in the Beltway at a clear advantage? You're looking at Obamacare. This is the opposite of equality. If you want true equality, have equal access to healthcare. Let people choose what works best for them. Because the thing with central planning for any system this massive is that you can't micromanage everybody's individual situation. So people are going to get hurt because everybody is a different, unique individual with unique needs.
Mm-hmm. All right,
and especially with the IRS in charge of implementing and enforcing this, I mean, if they can barely navigate the tax code and manage not to target conservatives and libertarians, I don't see how they have any kind of bandwidth over there to staff something like this.
And I understand that Obamacare called for the hiring of 16,000 additional IRS agents as part of Obamacare. That's unbelievable. Now, I'm going to quote a little bit from your article and have you unpack it, okay? Here's one of the statements you make. And by the way, we're talking with Jackie Bodner. That's spelled B-O-D-N-A-R. And this is from an article she wrote, Obamacare Hurts Millennials. And she's the communications director of Freedom Works. And where can people find this article?
This is on smartgirlpoliticsaction.com. And then more about Freedom Works can be found at freedomworks.org.
According to recently released numbers from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, fewer than one quarter of individuals enrolling in Obamacare are between the ages of 18 and 34, a far cry from the estimated 40% needed for the law to work. Okay, comment on that.
Sure. So the way that this works is that the law requires at least 40% of people from 18 to 34 to finance the additional cost that you're getting from these older and maybe less healthy Americans who are opting into the system and not paying as much. So that money has to come from somewhere, and it's getting overcompensated by young Americans paying more, basically. So that's where, when I'm talking about paying more for services you don't need, mm-hmm. that's where that's coming from.
So what's going to happen if the present trends continue? And this, you know, young people out there, despite all whatever campaigns they have, you know, be cool, sign up for Obamacare. If that ultimately fails and people just opt out to pay that fine, which now is a pittance, but later it apparently builds up, what happens to Obamacare down the road?
Essentially, it fails to become financially solvent and starts collapsing on itself. And actually, I mean, even the Democrats are starting to admit that this is what's coming down the road. I think it was Jim Moran, who's a congressman that's retiring in Virginia, just did a radio interview, I believe it was last week, and he even admitted that having young, healthy Americans opt out of Obamacare is going to start to unravel the whole system. And he even went one step further and said that I can't blame them, that young Americans are probably right to avoid it.
Sure. Well, people do what is in their best interest. I mean, the classic book on that is Adam Smith, The Wealth of Nations. There's this invisible hand. When people do what's best in their best interest, the best system to set up is the one where people, you know, allow people to do that, as opposed to like a Soviet type system where you have 5-year plans and the government decides, well, we're going to only have X number of boots made and we're only going to do this and only do that. And when the government tries to plan, it doesn't work. And that's what Obamacare seems to be, a government plan, and it's not working.
Right, and I think there's a general skepticism, too, by young Americans towards the government anyway in the past couple years, and a realization that, hey, maybe government can't be everything for everybody. If there's no jobs, and the IRS is targeting innocent citizens based on their political preferences, and you have the NSA spying on Americans.
Yeah.
Guantanamo Bay is still open, which was a promise made on the campaign trail. Wars continue. All of these broken promises that were made in 2008 and 2012 that rallied the troops around President Obama, rallied, you know, young Americans to get out the vote around President Obama, and here we are listening to what felt like the same State of the Union speech that we've heard for the past couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing has changed. And I think that you have a very large group of millennials starting to take a second look at, you know, regardless of whether or not it feels good, these ideas of the government being everything for everybody and you can micromanage entire economies and do everything. Now you're looking at, well, can it be done? Even if it's a nice idea, can it be done? Because the government seems to be one epic fail right now.
Hmm. Well, you said you quote a Harvard University Institute of Politics survey of young adults, and they found that 57% of millennials disapprove of Obamacare. Only 18% believe Obamacare will improve their quality of care, while 40% believe it will worsen it. And let me quote you further in your article. The president can host White House youth summits and continue to make the case that Obamacare is a good deal for young people. But the numbers don't lie. Premiums are forecasted to increase across the board by 41% on average. The American Action Forum found that premiums will increase 260% for men under 30. They've got to pay for all those birth control, I guess. The cheapest insurance policy option on healthcare.gov for a single 26-year-old making $35,000 annually is almost $2,000. You say it's, quote, $1,863. Wow. So you make $35,000, and let's say prior to this you had a catastrophe, you know, health insurance plan, or maybe maybe your government or your employer provided the health care, but, you know, almost $2,000 out of $35,000, plus the government's going to take its taxes, that's going to be difficult to make ends meet.
Right. Right. So the cheapest policy isn't so cheap. And I think that's what people are realizing, too, that the subsidies that were promised and everyone was going to get a subsidized premium and they weren't going to have to pay as much, the cutoff for that is much lower than people actually realize. So people making $35,000 a year annually think, surely I'll qualify for something. Hmm. But what they actually get is much lower than they originally thought. So you look at that, and why not, rather than, you know, $1,800, why not just pay the $95?
Hmm. Yeah, which is the fine. Again, that's the first year, and it will apparently go up according to the way the law is written, as I understand it. We harped on this a little bit earlier, but I think it's a point that's very difficult to understand. And I have two young children. Well, they're not young. They're about 30, median age 30. And I have seen that the job market that they have available to them is different than what I have. And in a general type of field, it's very difficult these days to get a good job with benefits. A lot of times people end up getting a part-time job here and a part-time job there, but they certainly don't have health care insurance as part of it.
Right.
And I think
people are opting for internships with monthly stipends rather than a salary.
Sure.
Because that's all that employers can afford.
Yeah. And do you think that what Target did recently, where, as we talked about earlier, they shuttled, you know, a number of full-time employees to part-time status, do you think that kind of thing is going to increase in the future?
I think so. I mean, already 10 million, there's definitely a trend here. And as costs go higher and higher for providing health care for employees, incentives matter. I think you're going to see even more of that.
All right, here's another quote from you. Obamacare is estimated to cost more than 1 million jobs and reduce 10 million full-time workers to part-time status. And you go on to say, beyond simple arithmetic, millennials take issue with the hypocrisy of those enforcing the law. The White House has already granted over 1,200 waivers to politically connected labor unions and corporations over the past 3 years. I noticed, by the way, that when Obamacare was written, the trial lawyers, which are really part of the problem when it comes to medical care costs because of, the plethora of lawsuits, there was no tort reform at all as part of Obamacare.
Right. Yeah, there are so many rifle shot reforms that you can make to this law to improve it. I mean, nobody's making the argument here that the healthcare system that existed before was perfect. It was flawed, it had mistakes, but the solution shouldn't have been taking all the worst aspects of that system and just expanding them. So, I mean, we actually have FreedomWorks is working on a campaign called Prescription for America. And we are encouraging everybody to submit their top three. There's a list of choices of the most popular reform solutions, of the top three reform ideas, and their three least favorite. And everything's on the table, including single payer. We put everything on the table and give people a choice. And what we're doing is crowdsourcing this ranked list of reform priorities. Because the next step here is going to be looking at things like tort reform and looking at other issues in healthcare, and providing a principled alternative. I think that's really important as we start fighting against Obamacare and continuing to do so. We should have a reform in hand ready to go, saying we do stand for something. So look at this proactive agenda that we have as an alternative.
Where can people get information about that?
So if you go to you can go to freedomworks.org.
Okay.
And it'll be right on the homepage, and it'll connect you to the survey, or you can go to anewprescription.com.
Now, is that only for people that are, under 34, or is that for anybody?
No, this is for everybody.
Oh, okay.
Everybody, and we're collecting input through February, and then we're going to be releasing it in March the Hill.
That's excellent. So anybody is encouraged to participate. You're absolutely right. If Obamacare does implode, there's got to be some kind of replacement, because it's not going to, nature abhors a vacuum. We saw what happened when the communists, fell out in Russia. Unfortunately, it wasn't Jeffersonian democracy that took over. It was the mob, Oh, and now Putin's back there and so forth. So things aren't going so great there. Thank you so much for being with us, Jackie. Keep up the great work. And again, that website is freedomworks.org. Thanks again.
Thanks for having me.
All right, all the best. Bye-bye now. And again, if you want to hear any of these interviews, or maybe you missed some past ones, you can find the audio, thanks to Mike at the mic, at jerrynewcomb.com. We'll see you next week. God bless, and have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Vocal Point. The views and opinions were those of the host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of gracenetradio.com or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. Join us next Thursday at noon for Vocal Point on gracenetradio.com.